There's only one.
1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game. The other side's playing for keeps. You snooze, you lose.
And welcome back, everybody. We are into our last hour here on a Wednesday. This hump day is... turned out actually okay. Sorry that Sarah Carter could not join us in the last hour, but there was plenty to talk about. And she will be joining us tomorrow at about 10 o'clock. So we'll have that conversation that we missed today with her. And I'm looking forward to that because she's always right on top of some of the situations that are going on out there. She is an investigative reporter, and she was one of the best at it. So in this hour, we call it the Practice Hour with Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. And we've got topics that we cover. You're trying to make sure that people understand a little of the a few of the things that can make their health a little better.
Terry, I try to pick topics. I suppose that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
That I can make it simple for normal people to understand. There are things I'd love to talk about that I'm not sure I can.
Yeah.
Make it simple enough. You know, that's, you know, so we don't do it, kind of thing.
Right.
All right. But I look at topics that are helpful. Mm-hmm. Hopefully helpful, that people will change their lifestyle and things to do with. All right?
Right.
And what we're going to talk about today is essentially nicotinamide adenosine dinucleotide, NAD. It's niacin.
Yeah.
It's essentially, we're going to talk about niacin today. That's not for the simple people.
And niacin's been around for a long time.
I didn't mean for simple people, but it's been around. 1906.
Yeah.
Niacin first discovered in yeast cultures. All right. This, you know, 1906 is way, way back there, you know, more than 100 years ago kind of thing. Yeah. In fact, four Nobel Prizes came out of that research, okay? It was that powerful, all right?
Right.
It literally changed how we thought about aging, all right? And we're going to talk about niacin and the issues with it, for it, and how it has to do with aging, all right? There's a lot of stuff coming out about it.
Well, we're finding a lot of the things that they're studying right now really got put on the shelf a long time ago, and now that they're revisiting them, we're learning so much more.
We are at the cusp, medically. There's so much stuff in the pipeline, if it's the right word. Medicine 10 years, even 5 years from now, is going to be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff coming out, all right, especially in the anti-aging world, all right, and in functional medicine world. It is mind-boggling, just short and simple. There's so much stuff.
Well, this is where the research dollars are being spent.
Yes. Hopefully today we're going to... Talk about it. Yeah, we are going to talk about it. But sort of make give a sense of where we're at,
mm-hmm.
and make some sense about it and what you can do about it. All right. Essentially, this is we call it vitamin 3 or niacin, vitamin B3. I'm sorry, or niacin. All right, and it is a precursor to what we call NAD. This nicotinamide adenosine dinucleotide, and we'll just call it NAD. It's easier to say.
You know? Yeah, sure.
All right. But here's the thing. This niacin, if that's the right word to say, I suppose it's a bit more complex than that. We'll get into it a little bit later. But for now, we'll call it niacin. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually four forms. But make a long story short, it is responsible for more than 400 enzymatic reactions in the body. All right? It is the... hormone? No, that's not the right word. It is the chemical, all right,
right,
that extracts NAD or energy out of your food that you eat. All right?
Got to have it then.
Got to have it, okay? It is critical for activity, what we call sirtuins, I don't want to really, we've talked about the other shows, don't want to really go there.
Right.
To get sidetracked. But make a long story short, niacin, if you don't have NAD, you don't live very long. All right, that's maybe the best way to say it. All right, it's the most abundant molecule in the human body. You know, that's honest catch a rock.
Other than H2O.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so far as an abundant a molecule that's made in the body. All right, so this niacin, essentially. All right, and we'll get into it a little bit later because it's not totally true. There's four types of niacin, or four precursors to niacin. But anyhow, it is, if you don't have it, you get pellagra. All right? No, the doctors know what that is. The 99% of the people listening don't have a clue. All right. What it is. But there's four Ds for pellagra. All right? That's called the four Ds of pellagra that doctors know. But it's dermatitis, dementia, diarrhea, and then you go to death. It's called the 4Ds, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is easily solved or treated by niacin, all right? You mentioned during the break, or just before we started, of niacin. A lot of people have taken niacin over the years for cholesterol issues, and it causes a lot of flushing. We'll go into that later in a program about that kind of thing. But it is not
And the flushing is prevalent to anybody who's around you. Because, you can feel it.
No, you get red. You get flushed.
Yeah. It's like, are you okay?
Yeah. All right. So the 4Ds of pellagra, right, which is niacin deficiency, all right, is dermatitis or skin rashes, dementia, all right, diarrhea, and lastly is death, all right? it's food and plant, animal, and fungi in every product that we eat. It's there, all right? Now, some of the niacin in foods, like, for instance, niacin in corn. There's niacin in corn.
Right.
But
look at cornflakes, and it'll show niacin is one of the ingredients.
Well, here's what happens, is certain foods, Terry, need to have an alkaline base.
Environment
to release the niacin.
Okay.
Okay? And corn is one of those, all right? If you don't, it takes an alkaline environment to release it. That's maybe the best way to say it. All right. Since 1938, all right, that's a long time ago, Terry.
Yeah, but almost 100 years.
But we realized that niacin was it was very important. All right. So in 1938, the law was passed that all bread sold in the country has to be fortified with niacin. All right? So, and that was done to prevent pellagra from occurring.
Yeah.
So all bread today has niacin in it, all right? And especially added if it doesn't have it naturally, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, or available naturally, like we mentioned corn.
I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but is it possible that some of the diseases that people died of before they discovered niacin were actually the lack of niacin, and it just was mislabeled misunderstood?
You're going into the 1800s and 1700s? Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I didn't look at those statistics, but definitely. All right? Back in 1906, when they discovered niacin,
right.
That's the right word to say, or there's NAD, it's sort of the fact that it had four Nobel Prizes, it sort of got it became important in medicine because of that. All right,
mm-hmm.
It was sort of forgotten about, or I don't know, forgotten about. It's not a big issue in the 1900s in medical care, but it became because of these four Nobel Prizes, people started looking at it, and literally in 1938. We've mandated all bread has to have niacin in it.
Well, and as you know, before the 1900s and modern medicine really started and understanding people things like niacin, if you had eight kids, if four of them made it to adulthood, you were doing really, really well.
Yeah. We will talk a little bit about what happens with people, all right?
Sure.
And that. all species, all mammalian and human species, all right, as over time, our amount of niacin or NAD plus decreases. And there's a lot of research. Is this what causes aging? All right.
Oh, okay.
Now, a lot of it has to do with what's the chicken or the egg kind of thing. You know, I mean, there's we haven't really decided or come to a consensus with that. There were two studies done at Harvard and MIT.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And essentially, I can increase my NAD and boost the length of life in rats. Number two, we know that if I give you NAD, all right, it increases the sirtuin activation, which has to do with making you live longer, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it is probably the most important thing in anti-aging research. All right? Now, there's no question in rodents, okay? Most of the research is done in mice and rodents kind of thing, all right? Not a lot has been done in humans. Some, and we'll talk a little bit about that kind of thing. But in rodents, if I give you niacin,
right.
All right?
Right.
It markedly, dramatically increases the NAD plus, all right? And the human studies are not as, for sure,
conclusive?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Not as conclusive, all right? But we know in mice, if I give you niacin, essentially, in more niacin, okay?
Yeah.
Essentially, I give you NAD plus, but think of it as niacin, all right? That's not totally
right,
true,
right,
but
right.
But think of it that way, all right? In mice, it increases your physical endurance, increases your vision, increases bone strength, delays muscle atrophy, delays hearing loss, delays ovarian loss, delays cognitive decline. And if I give it, improves brain function, immune system function, kidney function, liver function.
Yeah,
oh,
but,
my gosh.
But do they get hot flashes? Like,
I don't know. If
we haven't run into a mouse that we can ask. But
but all these things suggest, these studies all across mammalian studies, mammals, all right,
mm-hmm.
non-humans, show the same thing. All right, there's no question about the good of it. All right, now we're going to talk later in the program about some of the problems with it. All
yeah,
right?
No, all right, because there are quite a few.
But the issues, Terry, are that oh my gosh, this is very, very, how should I say, potentially good. So far, what we've talked about. Okay,
right,
now
right.
we're going to go.
We're looking at all those positive sides, and
we're
going to
go
and
in later in the program about what the issues are with it. All right,
but they have. Definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, said that the niacin or the NAD has all these positive effects.
Yes.
It's not a question that it might be something else doing it.
No. In mice, it's conclusive.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
In humans, the studies, not that many human studies, but the human studies, it's not as conclusive. All right? And maybe, I don't know if we want to take a break, but maybe after the break, we should talk about what if I give 1 week of increased NAD or plus, all right? Just mm-hmm. 1 week. That's not very much, Terry.
Right.
What change in their lifespan of mice will happen? And this is amazing. When we come back, we'll talk about it. It is, oh, my gosh.
No.
It's just unbelievable what happens. And we'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
Kind of thing.
We're going to be back. You're listening to Maxwell in the Morning. Get to the last mic drop. This is during the practice hour with Dr. Jan Mensink.
KNZR.com. KNZR on Twitter. KNZR on Facebook. And KNZR on your radio. 1560 AM, 97.7 FM. KNZR.
Okay, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Which one of them came from the birds?
Nash.
Nope. He came from the Hollies.
Oh, the Hollies. Oh, man.
Crosby.
It was Crosby.
Damn. Yeah, David Crosby.
I was thinking that.
We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensink, talking about NAD, niacin, all of the positive aspects of it, pretty much delving into what they're finding in studies. We don't have much in the way of human studies, but we do have some animal studies that seem to indicate that this is something that might be the holy grail for
Fountain
of Youth.
Well, Terry, if I give mice, mm-hmm. all right, 1 week of increased NAD, that's not very much.
Right.
1 week, it changes a 22-month-old mouse to have the function of a 6-month-old mouse.
Now, once they stop taking it, do they revert back to being 22?
Yes. Yeah.
Dang!
But here's the thing, Terry.
Yeah.
This is done in mice, not in humans, okay?
Right.
But this is equivalent to a 70-year-old man taking a week of NAD and having the function of a 70-year-old person having the function of a 20-year-old.
Yeah, but if you extrapolated it in the same way, you'd have to say that 1 week for a mouse would be equivalent to how much time for a human? Because the mouse only lives, a few years.
But when you extrapolate that, it's like a 70-year-old human having the function of a 20-year-old human.
Right.
All right?
Now, if you take it long enough.
Yeah, for 1 week.
No, but that's in a mouse.
Yes.
But if you extrapolate that the mouse only lives how many years?
Yeah. Well,
all I'm saying is you'd have to take it longer in a human because it's much more a bigger... I mean, my understanding of the studies I used to talk about.
Terry, I don't know that I can. I don't know. Let's put it that way. I didn't look at that up, what kind of thing. All right. Now, let's talk about NAD plus boosting supplements.
Let's do. Okay, because I think everybody at this point is
where the rubber meets the road.
Everybody wants to know.
What do I know about this? All right. Now, there's four supplements. All right. Four forms of NAD plus boosting supplements. And there's niacin. We've talked about niacin, all right?
Right, right.
Now, we've talked to niacin sort of in generic, all right? When you boil it down, there's niacin, nicotinamide NAM, there's nicotinamide riboside NR, and there's nicotinamide mononucleoside, which is NMR. But they all increase... NADH plus, all right?
Okay.
They all do, all right? We've sort of,
scratched the surface?
Well, no. We've sort of made them all as...
Oh,
as
lumped them all together, yeah.
It's a little bit more complex, all right? Now, here's the thing. If you need to take a certain amino acid to make niacin or any of these four products, okay?
Right, right.
And if you don't have this amino acid, you get pellagra, all right, essentially, all right? That amino acid is tryptophan.
Really?
So if you don't have enough tryptophan, you will get in trouble, all right? And in fact, you can buy tryptophan supplements over the counter with no prescription. All right,
they'll put you to sleep though, won't they?
Well, they tend to make you sleepy. If you're going to take them, you take them at night. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Great.
Now, here's the thing: tryptophan to make NAD plus, takes 8 enzymatic steps. All right, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right, but if I take niacin, NAM, NR, all these other forms, mm-hmm. it only takes 3 steps to make NAD+. All right?
Oh, okay.
So tryptophan is a long way around about it, okay? But remember, if you don't have enough tryptophan, you will get pellagra if you don't eat bread. That's probably a good way to say it, all right? The other thing is that tryptophan is dirt cheap. It's pennies a day. It's not an expensive amino acid or supplement.
Eat some turkey.
Yeah, no. Why? Tryptophan will make you sleepy. All right.
After a Thanksgiving dinner
everybody has a nap. All right?
Because of tryptophan. Yeah,
exactly, Terry. You hit the nail right on the head. All right. Now, in the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
all right, I believe it was the FDA that did this. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was the FDA that did this. But we changed nicotinic acid We changed the name to niacin. All right? Why was it done? There was a feeling by the FDA at that time that there was being confusion in the public with respect to nicotinic acid and nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so we changed the name.
to niacin,
essentially.
Okay.
All right? So you need to be aware of that. So if you look in the research before that, it was nicotinic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 1940s, we changed it so that it was not this area of confusion in people's mind. All right? In niacin in the 1940s was the first cholesterol-lowering drug available. All right? There's something called the Coronary Drug Project. That's a big name for a large study done in the 1960s. All right? Where they gave niacin to patients and to humans, and no niacin, restricted niacin to other people.
Right.
That's maybe a better way to say it is they gave niacin supplements versus just normal diet. Okay, that's not restricting niacin, but because they would die. But just normal people, one group they ate their normal diet,
right,
and the other group they gave niacin supplements. Yep. All right, it's called the Coronary Drug Project, and bottom line, that study showed there was a 6.2% drop in death, overall cause mortality in humans. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's pretty good. All right. Yeah, that was the first study. This is years ago, 1940s, essentially. A large study done over years, all right?
Mm-hmm.
6.2% drop in death, all right? But after that, since that time, and this is in the early 70s, 80s, there's something called Cochrane meta-analysis. I don't know if you've heard. Yeah, I think you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cochrane studies, it's revered in medicine, all right, if it's the right word. But they take dozens or hundreds of studies and do what's called a meta-analysis on it.
Right.
And sort of summarize what does the end result of all these studies say, all right? And the Cochrane meta-analysis studies looked at this and said they questioned whether there was benefit from niacin, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, and this is in the 80s and early 80s, late mid, early 90s, all right? When the Cochrane analysis came out for this, there was less, niacin became not used as much. That's maybe
right,
the best way to say it, all right?
Well, I think one of the caveats there would be that you can't eliminate, you can't use niacin as the only thing that would make a difference between one group and another.
Well today... All right.
Have it be relevant.
Today, the recommendation is that people, if you have cholesterol issues,
mm-hmm.
the people who cannot take statins should be considered for niacin. All right?
Right.
There's no question statins lower cholesterol better. There's issues with statins. They're overused. I'm not a fan of them. You know, they're overused. There's a lot of issues. I'm not against them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of issues with statins.
Right.
That I really don't want to go into today, right now, but the medical community today is recommended if you've got cholesterol problems and statins don't work or you can't take them,
mm-hmm.
you consider niacin.
Well, right? The other thing about it is if your cholesterol is high and you can't get a prescription for the other medications, niacin's over the counter.
No, that's true. That is true. All right.
Nope.
We know that if I take large doses of niacin, essentially,
mm-hmm.
all right, there are some issues, okay? And I want to just, next little bit, we'll talk about the good things and the bad things,
yeah.
all right? Put it into perspective. That's
right,
the right,
right
word,
right.
All right? You need to be aware of this. But large doses can literally increase your blood sugar and cause a patient to get type 2 diabetes.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh, kind of thing, all right? Now, we don't know exactly why, Terry, all right? But the studies are pretty good in humans that if you're not careful, it can, you know, you need to talk to your doctor about this and say, is this something I should look at, kind of
sure.
thing. Sure. All right? Because there are issues. Number two, the flushing problems. Everybody knows you take niacin, you get flushing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the issue, is if you have Parkinson's disease... the niacin can cross the blood-brain barrier very fast, and it has to do with methylation issues of the brain. I don't want to really go into it why, all right? It's very complex, and I'm not sure I could explain that on the radio to make people understand it. But if you have Parkinson's disease, you should not be taking niacin because it can cause what we call methylation issues, but bad problems in the brain of Parkinson's disease patients.
Got it.
So yeah. Parkinson's people listening, as you know, this lower part of the valley is increased incidence of Parkinson's. These people don't take niacin. You talk to your doctor first, bottom line, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's potential issues with it, all right? And the other thing I want to talk about is how do you get niacin? And what do you do? And what kind of foods, all right? There's a paper, and this is March 12, 2024.
Right.
And this is published by the NAD, all right? So it's pretty up to date, all right? March 2024 is pretty, you know, pretty up to date stuff. This is from the NIH, all right? I don't know if you want to take a break. We'll go over it, or should we go ahead now?
We can go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and go over it. We'll have
essentially, we're going to talk about the issues of excess niacin.
Okay.
And what it does and all the issues with it. All right? I've got a few papers today, but this is a paper that's very up to date, if that's right. You know, March of 2024 by NIH. Yeah.
Less than a year old.
Yeah. It's not 8 months. So,
yeah. You know, Sounds good. Okay. We'll be back in just a few minutes. All right, everybody, we are back. Talking with Dr. Jan Mensing. We left you hanging. We left you hanging because you're going to go over a study.
This is a paper put up by NIH.
Pretty recent.
Yes.
Pretty recent.
Well, March 12, 2024.
Okay.
So this is pretty up-to-date stuff, all right? Essentially, the article, or the name of the paper is How Excess Niacin May Promote Cardiovascular Disease.
Mm-hmm.
Holder, we've been talking about all
the good things. Wait a minute.
What's going on here? All right.
Right.
So bottom line, all right. This was first published in Nature in February 19, 2024. And then this is a summary a month later that NIH summarized essentially this paper, all right, because it felt it was so important, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So how excess niacin may promote cardiovascular disease. So here's what we've been talking about, all the good things about niacin.
Right.
All right? And then all of a sudden I'm saying, hold her.
Yeah.
Now here's
the issue. Let's be careful with it.
Yes. That's from the bottom line. All right? All right? But niacin or nicotinic acid or vitamin B3 is essential. All right? We've mentioned that it's in all foods, all right, since the 1940s. All right? It's supplemented. All right? And the recommended dose of niacin is between 14 and 18 milligrams per day, all right, for adults, all right?
Okay.
But here's the issue. When niacin is given, and we're talking in high doses, you need 14 to 18 milligrams, all right?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot. But if it's given, if you take more than 1,500 milligrams, this is massive doses of niacin,
right?
All right? Literally what happens is that it essentially increases what's called 2-PY and 4-PY, but that means nothing to everybody listening. But these are inflammatory markers that increase the inflammation,
mm-hmm.
and it increases the inflammation in the coronary arteries and can make heart disease worse. That's probably summarize it real quickly. All right, so you have to be careful that you're not going to take these massive doses. I mean, there's people listening saying, well, a little bit is good, better is more.
Yeah, well,
all right?
That's alcoholic thinking.
Just be careful. Talk to your doctor about this kind of stuff because you can get in trouble, all right?
Right,
if you take these massive doses of niacin, all right?
And, well, I don't know of anybody who could tolerate the side effects of niacin in massive doses.
Well, we have forums, Terry, today, these other three forms besides niacin, all right,
mm-hmm.
that don't have very much flushing side effects, all right?
Right?
So it's possible to take these massive doses without, you know, going nuts with the flushing with niacin, all right? And so some people, there's this idea a little bit's good, maybe more is better, all right?
Right.
So you need 14 to 18 milligrams a day. That's not very much, all right? But if I take 1,500 milligrams, the studies were between 1,500 milligrams and 2,000 milligrams, it literally increased
more detrimental
of heart problems because it increases the inflammatory component.
Do they have a therapeutic window where they say this is a good dose to be taking?
I don't know, Terry. The study didn't go into that kind of thing. But essentially, I'll read a paragraph in the paper, all right? But these findings suggest that excess niacin may be a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, all right? And end of quotes. But it essentially goes into the fact that this massive doses of niacin may essentially increase the inflammatory component of the body and essentially make, there's good evidence that can make, as we know, this heart disease is started by inflammatory processes. We've talked about that.
Make things
program.
Worse. Yeah, make
it
things
can literally
worse.
Make the heart disease worse.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I mention these because essentially if you're listening out there, I'm going to go buy
niacin.
A bunch of niacin and a little is good and take all these massive doses. Just be careful. Talk to your doctor first. I can't say that enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's really no guidelines that you can look at and say, well, here's what we recommend, 250 milligrams or 100 milligrams or anything like that.
I think 100 milligrams is very safe. 200 milligrams is very safe.
But you're going to recommend not taking the straight niacin, but there are other forms.
NAD forms. NAD plus forms, okay. All right. But the issue is this. This is not an area where little is good, more is better, right?
Right.
There's people that will take these massive doses of niacin and literally get in trouble, all right? Now, I want to go over the issues real quickly about what symptoms you are going to have if you have a niacin deficiency. Drill down on those more,
okay.
All right?
Okay.
And this was published, I think, in June 6th of 2023. All right, that's pretty recent stuff, pretty up-to-date stuff, too. But if you have niacin deficiency, you get pellagra, all right? We've talked about that, all right? And it can cause all these symptoms related to the skin, the digestive system, the nervous system. But let's go one by one what some of these are,
okay.
All right? Thick, scaly, pigmented rash on the skin that's exposed to sunlight, all right? Number two. A swollen mouth, and the tongue will be bright red and swollen. All right?
Okay.
Number three, they'll get vomiting and diarrhea. Number four, they'll get headaches. Number five, they'll get apathy. They just feel blah. All right?
Right.
Number six, fatigue. Number seven, that we miss as doctors, but depression. All right? If it gets real bad, they get disoriented and they get memory loss. Now, why I wanted to mention these is I want to drill down on depression. Because, Terry, we as a medical community are not thinking the person's depressed may have a niacin deficiency. All right? In fact, in our office, we give our patients, they have to buy our multivitamin, right, that has enough niacin in it, essentially,
right.
So that it's not an issue for them. I don't have to worry that they're not getting enough niacin, all right?
So you wouldn't recommend somebody who's taking your vitamins to take a supplement?
No. If you take our multivitamin, has enough niacin in it, you don't need it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
The treatment of niacin, all right, niacin comes in a lot in red meat, fish, poultry, breads, cereals. All the bread has fortified with niacin. We mentioned that since the 1940s, all right? Now, so almost 100 years we've had bread. If you eat
manufactured bread.
Manufactured. Yeah. Bread that comes from the grocery store.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It has niacin in it already, right. All right? The nicotinic acid or niacin supplements, and they're that are approved for the by the FDA, essentially, they're roughly about 100 milligrams. All
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And you get by with taking two of them if need be. Probably 100 milligrams is more than enough kind of thing. But what I want to encourage people listening, you're not going to start taking thousands of, you know, 1,500 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams of niacin, all right? Because you're going to get in trouble.
What is the dose to reduce cholesterol?
Probably about 100 milligrams.
Okay.
Probably about 100 milligrams. All right. The other thing is important is if you have gout, you should not be very careful of taking high-dose niacin because it will make the serum uric acid levels worse and make the gout worse. Mm-hmm. So if you've got gout, you should not be buying NAD plus tablets.
Right.
Default or niacin tablets.
No.
You need to talk to your doctor because it can make the gout worse, literally. All right? Okay. I want to go and talk a little bit about essentially one of the other issues with niacin, and this is from a paper in,
They're not making it easy for you.
I forgot. I think it was done the last 3 or 4 years, all right?
Okay.
But it was Health and C is where it was first published. But niacin deficiency has also been shown. We mentioned depression and how important it is.
All right.
We as doctors miss that. I don't want to play games. Right. We're not thinking of that. All right.
Right.
With depression, but it can also cause hallucinations and delusions. So people that are screwy, I don't know if that's the right word to say, but you know what I mean, and are having mental these problems with hallucinations or delusions,
right?
They need to be checked to make sure they don't have a niacin deficiency. All right, and you know, as we say in our office, we make them take our multivitamin that has a correct amount of niacin, so I don't need to worry about that. That's
right.
Maybe the simplest way to say it. All right, but the issue, Terry, is that there's even evidence coming out right now that niacin deficiency may have a factor in the increasing Alzheimer's disease risk that's going on, all right?
That would be a nice revelation.
Yeah, we're not there yet to say yes or no, mm-hmm. all right? But that's where the research is heading, all right? That maybe that's where it is, all right? The other thing that's important is there's certain herbs that have a large amount of vitamin B3 or niacin.
Okay.
That's one of them is chamomile, and the other one is mint.
Hmm.
So you have to be careful if you're drinking chamomile tea every day or mint tea, that you have to think, is there an issue with niacin, essentially, all right?
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want too much niacin.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's pretty well it, Terry.
Okay.
This is an area that there's new stuff coming out, Terry, as we say. I mean, this is
hot off the press. The whole supplement question is being answered by some of the studies that are being done.
Terry, this is new stuff.
Yeah.
10 years ago, we didn't know about this.
Great.
All right.
Dr. Mensing, thank you so much.
Okay.
I'll see you on Monday.
The best of all.
All right, everybody.
And go vote.
Definitely go vote. We'll be back in just a few minutes.